January 30th, 2024, the only shepherd. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Matthew 9:35-38. Now imagine having everyone rushing to you with every problem they had before them, hoping you can help. It'd feel overwhelming. But one thing that would become very clear in a very short amount of time is the desperate need. It reminds me of when Adam was naming all the animals and it says, "There was not found a suitable helper for him." And in the same way, they bring all these problems before Christ and it becomes obvious there's no suitable helper or shepherd for these men and women either. None besides Christ. Their teachers have failed them. The demons are tormenting them. They're dying. But he sees their desperate need plainly. And the desperate need is obvious, isn't it? Right now, today. And we must see this before we will embrace Christ. We have a desperate need. We haven't been able to fix ourselves. And Christ became a man and lived like us. He had the hands-on experience. He made us. He holds us together. He saw our fall and our failure, sin and rebellion. And he knows and he sees our condition better than we do. And now we see him looking at the crowd. Looking at these people. Men and women just like us. You and me. We see his response. And then lay out our condition openly here. Briefly, but so openly and so plain. We see it in this passage. So let's look at a few things. Number one, he has compassion. This is the love of our Savior. He was relentless. He is relentless. See, men and women flock to him like sheep. We see his compassion repeatedly throughout Matthew. And we again must see and hold tightly to what is plain in this passage. Our Lord knows what it means to be human, and we must read and reread his response to us and to these men and women. Compassion, that's what we read. Is that easy for you to believe, that the Lord has compassion? This is both his response, and it should be our response towards men and women. Especially when we have his Spirit. See, we often see the downcast and don't take it to heart. We see the man on the side of the road with a flat tire and drive by. We see a man struggling with his wife and lend no remark or encouragement or guidance. And we see young men and old men drawn away into things of least importance and things of perversion, and we just let them be. There's much work to be done, and many wounded people who are lost with how to handle situations. But let's hear what our Lord comes to conclude about us. What's our condition in simple terms? Here are three things. Number one, harassed. In our day, this may look different than back then, but it's still the same. Men are harassed by media, women are harassed by men, men leave their families and leave the women harassed by physical needs for provision, they leave their children harassed by a culture leading them into paths of death, schools harass their young minds and pit them against each other. We're harassed for our color, we're harassed for our wealth, we're harassed for our poverty, we're harassed for our clothing, we're harassed by our own sin, we're harassed by men who wish to devour us because of our beauty. We're harassed by perversion. We're harassed by twisters of the word. We're harassed by governments. We're harassed by politics. We're harassed by sickness. We're harassed by loss. We're harassed by pain. Constantly harassed. Harassed, harassed, harassed. This is our condition in one word. Life is hard. And this is our daily lives. So number one, we're harassed. That's what Christ says. They are harassed. Number two, we're helpless. To add on to harassed, it's plainly stated, helpless. No one to come to the right conclusions by ourselves. Or no way to come to the right conclusions by ourselves. In fact, the more we try to fix things, the worse we make it. This is our condition. We don't know truth. We don't know how to have relationships. We don't know why we're in this condition. We ignore truth. We suppress truth. We rather have pleasure over truth. We think we make it better by acting like we have changed and or come up with the solution only to have it blow up in our face. This is the world we live in. We're helpless. This is the condition of every country and all the people in them. Helpless. No ruler on earth can change and make peace for our condition. We are helpless. We need something besides ourselves, and we do not have leaders. Which brings me to number three. We have no shepherd. Men by themselves have no shepherd. And to make things worse, there's no one to lead us to freedom or real change. If you have ever wondered what is wrong with the world, look no farther. This passage is one that tells you plainly. It leaves us only looking at the one with the answers. It's like everything else goes dark and Jesus just stands there alone. If you're looking for answers, he's the only one with the spotlight on him in this passage. All the people are flocking to him. He stands alone. He seems to touch people and they are healed. He seems to have all the teaching that is authoritative. He seems to see their condition and know how to fix it. And no one else in this passage has the answers. Like, do you read that the religious of that day were the only shepherds doing their best? Nope. They're not the shepherds. They're not even mentioned. Or do you read that Herod, Antipas, was the shepherd? That people could go to him and that he had the answers? Nope. They had no shepherd. None. They didn't know what to do. There was a lot of advice, a lot of people quoting other people, and we see that today. But shepherd who knew, who knows, who has the right truth? Nope, don't see him. Everyone flocked to Christ, and this implies he was the only one left to look to. And if you and I don't come to this conclusion today, we have no hope. We will have no shepherd. You'll be led to and fro by people with different thoughts, but they themselves are lost. They may have wealth. They may be smart, but at the end of their life, they come up empty-handed. And Christ is the only one that will not leave you empty-handed. If we don't embrace him, we stay harassed, and we stay helpless, and we stay with only following the religious and the Herods. This text doesn't leave you with no shepherd, though. It doesn't leave the reader with no light or no right choice. In fact, it makes it very clear who to choose. It says, we are harassed and helpless, and this would be hopeless without an answer. But Jesus is the shepherd. It's implied here. He He's proven it. People are flocking to him. He knows their condition. He says it plainly. And their answer is in their midst. And Matthew wants us to see this. So the question we have to ask is, are we convinced? As you read this passage, as you listen, are you convinced that he's the only way? So number three, they had no shepherd. And lastly, we have a responsibility. We see the hope in the new shepherd who lead the harassed and hopeless to become the future guides for the future harassed and hopeless. Our shepherd has a plan. The shepherd in their midst has a plan. See, he will guide Matthew and the rest of the disciples in truth. He'll send his Holy Spirit. And this will soon grow and become what we now call the church, where you're at right now, who you're a part of right now, if you have put your trust in Christ. The lesson here is that many are the Lord's, and the work is a work that Jesus desired us to take part in. He is always looking for how he can involve his people and bring them into the realities and life-changing attitudes and lessons to be learned by experience. He doesn't just feel compassion himself, but then he takes men and puts compassion in them and uses them to reach and reach and reach the same kind of people. He's always leading his people out and then making them into new people. People like himself, shepherds, with his word. So we had the helpless, the harassed, and no shepherd. And now we have a shepherd. He's in our midst, and he's making other people like himself to be shepherds, to guide the helpless, harassed, and people with no shepherds. And the harvest is ready, and our shepherd had compassion and served the harassed and hopeless, but then he invites his people to do the same. And the lesson is clear, and we must learn this lesson and cling to Christ, our shepherd, our bridegroom. But more than this, we must cling to him, but then become like him in his actions and attitudes, and have compassion for those around us. And with this, let us have a happy Tuesday.